Now, April Fool's Day is come and gone, right? This is a new day, right? Now, you know that the gospel of Jesus is foolishness. I love that, right? It's foolishness to those who don't believe. But to those who do, it is what? It is life. It's life. In 1 Corinthians 1, Paul tells us that God chose through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. So I'm so glad that it was April Fool's Day that we celebrated resurrection, right? Now there's a new day. And we still anchored in what that foolishness has informed us. So in a way, April Fool's Day is never far from those who believe in Jesus Christ. Now, we are going to take a little journey through the letter of 1 John. And the core of that letter is that there's a contrast. Remember, we have been journeying through Mark, and we know what Mark is all about, right? Mark is about Jesus's
life.
More, come on.
Proclamation.
Okay, we'll continue on that, all right? Proclamation, Jesus' actions and his proclamation. What he said, what he was about, his intent, why he did what he did is left to others, to other gospels. And John is that writer that takes that on. Mark spells it out. He tells us, Jesus did this, he did that, and this is what he was about. And John says, okay, I'll tell you what that means. And he comes to express to us, what is it that is not only the identity of Christ, but what does it mean for us? Now, starting in very familiar fashion, the Gospel of John and the first letter of John, they allude to something in common. Remember? In the beginning, was the Word, right? That's how John starts his gospel, and now he also alludes to that. He is from the beginning, and again, this is a letter. It's a letter that is not addressed to someone specific. It's addressed to a community that is lasting up till today. It is applicable to all. Now, in what we read, we see that it wants to proclaim the witness of the Word of Life, which is what we did last week, remember? There was a few of our witnesses, right, up here, and they declared what that meant to them. So what's the witness? What is it that they, now I'm speaking about 1 John, what they declare? What is it that they proclaim? And notice that in this letter, John makes it a point to say us. He makes it a point to make it in a plural form. So that means that there's not only John, but there's others around John that are in the same boat, right? There are others that have seen, that have touched, that have experienced the Christ. And he says, we testify. And what they talk about is what? That God is the light. That God is the light. I'll get back to that in a minute, but I want you to remember this. Remember that last week? I know Isabel remembers. That was moved away, right? And behind it was what? The light. There was a light. The tomb was empty, but there was light. So the key of the passage is in these words. You heard it like three times. So that. Right? So that. So that you may also have fellowship with us. He also says, so that our joy may be complete. And in a sense, you can tell that John is trying to address folks in a unifying way. So that. It's like a formula. And his intent is to bring together differences, bring together the divergences of opinion and all the differences in teaching in order that the centrality of the message may not be lost. God is light. Amen? Now we know that even here in this microcosm of the church, even here we have a diversity of opinions, right? You know the saying, right? Wherever there's two disciples, there's five opinions. So even here, we know that there are some that lean that way and some that lean this way. We have some people that love this type of worship, another that love this other type. We know that some are very into not only what the scripture says, but interpreting it in one way. And then we have others that are in another position. And I think that part of the miracle of Christ is that he's bringing all of us together. Right, that was the perfect spot, people. Perfect spot right there. He's bringing all of us together. Right. This is really important. Because our world wants to separate us. Our world wants to say, no, you are here and you are there. Our world is always bombarding us with the idea that we cannot be one. And I think that that's why Christ prayed. Remember John 17? Lord, that they may be one, just like you and I are one. So resurrection is the transition from darkness to light. And perhaps you remember that there was a lot of darkness behind that stone. But the light came to life. The giver of life. Now there's another term that here in 1 John that is used quite a bit. And it's the term fellowship. Right? It's also mentioned three or four times. And in Greek, fellowship is koinonia or koinoneo. And that term involves relationship. It involves relationship with God. But it also involves relationship with each other. And you've known about this, right? That the cross symbolizes more than just death, right? It symbolizes a vertical and a horizontal relationship, right? Relationship with God, relationship with others. And this term, koinonia, fellowship, is all about what that means. Is participation, is association, is a bond united in a purpose, and it describes that beautiful relationship that we have, relationship of faith that connects all Christians to God and to other believers. Now, much is stated when we say fellowship. And it is not only that we sit down and eat together, right? It is not only a reflection of the fact that we have a fellowship hall, right? Koinonia is much more. It's not something that happens only down there in our lower floor. Although that has a common purpose when we gather together down there, this much more. There is an implication of participation. A united purpose. Now, verse 6 and 7 of the text lay out for us that if we have fellowship, we are to walk in the light and not in the darkness. And the key to that is not to sin. And I know, by the way that you're looking at me right now, I understand. Nobody wants to talk about sin. Right? You don't want to hear it. Especially from up here, right? If you want to be in fellowship, you best not sin. But wait. What? Does that qualify us? Or disqualify us? Does anybody here have any sin in their life? No, I don't want you to do it. I was just kidding. Is there anybody that is fully righteous here? Right? I mean, if we ask those kind of questions, we're like, what is this about? What is John talking about then? I mean, first of all, in our culture, in our context, that word sin is already passé, right? It's old school. We don't even talk about sin anymore, right? It's more of what the individual thinks and wants. We have freedom. What's this sin stuff? I read a story about a guy who comes to a lady pastor because he wants to leave the church. And the reason he stated is that, hey, I've noticed that there are people gossiping in the church and that they're hypocrites in the church. And the worship team? Boy, they're living so wrong. People are looking at their phones during the service. What's up with that, you know? There's just a lot of things wrong in this church. So this fellow said to the pastor, "I just think I need to leave." And the pastor was not surprised. He was saddened, but he agreed with him. But he made a request. He says, "If you think you need to leave, would you do something before you do?" "What is it, Pastor?" "Well, would you take a glass of water, full of water, and walk around the sanctuary 3 times with it without dropping one drop of water?" And the guy said, "Sure, that sounds easy. I gotcha." So he agreed. It was a piece of cake. He followed the instructions, and the task was completed. So he comes back to the lady pastor. And the pastor prompted the man with one more thing. "Before you leave," she said, "I want to ask you one more question. When you were walking around the church, did you see anyone gossiping?" He told him, "No." And she asked if he spotted any hypocrites or come across anybody using their phones. And again, the man replied, "No, not really." Then the pastor offered up this perspective. "You see, you were focused on the glass to make sure that you didn't stumble and spill the water. It's the same with our life. When we keep our eyes in Jesus, we don't have time to see the other's mistake. We will reach out with a helping hand to them and concentrate on our walk with the Lord." I don't know if you get the moral of this story. If we're in the light, we will reflect upon our lives and the fellowship that we have with Jesus. If we walk in the light, we will be more self-reflecting than anything else. We will recognize who we are. And we will look after ourselves and join the journey with others and recognizing that we are not the light. Jesus is. Verse 8 says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Now, John tells us in chapter 2 that he writes so that we, remember that formula? So that we may not sin. But if there is any sin in any of us, we can confess it. And God is able to forgive. Those who were here on Monday Thursday service, remember that we started the service with a prayer of confession. A prayer of confession. Perhaps being in the light is being able to see ourselves for who we are. It's being able to see our faults and not kid ourselves. It's a matter of looking ourselves in the light of God. Truly, honestly, and recognizing all that he has done for us. I tell you something. I love the term grace. You know what that means? Grace is what God exercised for us. Because sin, in its more natural meaning, is missing the mark. And that means that if you are not fully sanctified, holy, and separated from this world, guess what? We are sinners. And Paul addresses that, right? He says, we have all, right? We have all sinned and don't deserve it. But God. That's why resurrection is so important. Yes. Right? Because resurrection brings the light into our darkness. So that we're not stuck in the dark anymore. And I don't know about you, but I praise God for that. Because I do need that. I need his light. Give us hope. To give us a way so that we can see. Be honest. And walk in his footsteps. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful again for your word. We're grateful for a community that you supply, Lord, so that we can walk along with each other and help each other, so that we can find a place where we can reflect upon what you're doing on a daily basis in us, through us, so that this fellowship can be completed so that we may not fall into temptation, so that we may not be unaware. We also thank you for the grace that you give us. There is power in the blood. And we celebrate that. We celebrate that you have done this for us. And we just thank you. In Jesus we pray. Amen.